The following two purgatory visions reveal to us an ancient Catholic Church teaching about our destiny in heaven that almost no one knows or talks about. We're going to talk about that in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, first, a sort of metaphor. Imagine that you're someone from Canada and you're in Canada talking to an American and you're going to go visit the United States. And then that American person asks you, where are you going? And the Canadian says, I'm going to the USA. And the American kind of scratches her head and says, are you going to New York, to Chicago? Come on, man, give me a little bit more detail. And the Canadian just says, I'm going to the USA. And the American person thinks, this is looking hopeless. I don't know what they're teaching in Canadian schools, but obviously this person doesn't know anything about American geography or is not the brightest apple in the basket. That's how we are. When people ask us, where are we going after we die? If you're a positive person and you say, well, I'm going to heaven. And that's all you say. And a person who knows about things asks themselves, come on, give me some coordinates, some destination, more specificity. You're just going to heaven. That's all that you know. The church teaches so much more, and we've taught it from the beginning. Listen to these two purgatory visions, and we're going to unpack what this church teaching is so that you can understand your incredible destiny. Now, this is from the life of Saint Margaret of Cortona, an incredible Franciscan saint. On the feast of the purification of the glorious Virgin, the Lord revealed to Margaret that four angels would deliver the soul of Gilia from purgatory. Gilia was a friend of hers, and place her in the order of the cherubim, just as had been prophesied. Now, a few passages earlier, Saint Margaret, it was prophesied to her that this friend of hers would go to purgatory and after deliverance go into that particular order of angels. Confused? Listen to another one. Now, this is from the visions of Saint Francis of Rome, and she sees what happens when a soul in purgatory is delivered from purgatory and enters heaven. The Mother of God, having descended to purgatory, would then lead the fortunate soul that had completed its time of purgation from there into heaven and take it to the choir of angels among which it had merited to be placed. As Blessed Mary, together with the soul, passed through the various angelic choirs, there would be immense joy and jubilation breaking out at the sight of another one of the beloved children of God being taken to its blessed and everlasting homeland. But the greatest rejoicing took place in the choir to which the soul was assigned as its destination. In that celestial choir, there would be a great festivity of exaltation and holy mirth. Did you hear that? Did you know that we are not only destined to go to heaven, which already is incredible, to be with God and all the saints and angels, which already is incredible. I can't even speak. This is so exciting. But that we are going to be assigned into one of the nine choirs of angels. Did you know that this is an ancient Catholic teaching? Is it? Alvaro, where does it come from? Let me quote to you for, O ye doubters, O you of little faith, from one of the doctors of the church, one of the most ancient ones, Saint Augustine himself. Listen to what he has to say. Now, this is from this book called the Enchiridion, which that word is a Greek word meaning a summary of all the essential things. So essentially, this was a book that was like basically a catechism. This is in chapter 29. The restored part of humanity shall, in accordance with the promises of God, succeed to the place which the rebellious angels lost. That's the long title of that chapter. Now, let me read to you the particular section. And so it pleased God, the creator and governor of the universe, that since the whole body of the angels had not fallen into rebellion, the part of them which had fallen should remain in perdition eternally in hell. And that the other part which had in the rebellion remained steadfastly loyal should rejoice in the sure and certain knowledge of their eternal happiness. But that on the other hand, mankind, who constituted the remainder of the intelligent creation, having perished without exception under sin, both original and actual, and the consequent punishments should be in part restored and should fill up the gap which the rebellion and fall of the devils had left in the company of the angels. That is the beginning of this idea that not only are we going to fill up the gap in a general way, but that we will specifically, based upon our merits, be assigned to a particular choir of angels. Now, one question to be, are we destined to be in a particular choir, or can we, as we grow in merit, go to a higher level of the angels? It's not altogether clear, but from those two visions, it seems that based on the life that we choose to live here, based on our level of holiness, we could merit to be in higher and higher choirs of angels. Isn't that amazing? That, you know, when we're here on earth, we group ourselves so much. What race are you? Are you black, white, Asian, Indian? What country are you from? What's your job? Do you belong to? Are you a doctor, a lawyer? Are you an engineer? Are you a plumber? Are you a YouTuber? Are you Catholic? Are you a traditional Catholic? Do you belong to this fraternity? Most Catholics should not belong to fraternities because a lot of them have Freemasonic ties, by the way. Plug there. But all these groupings are superficial and they mean nothing. They are so meaningless because they're only in our lives. However, they all in some ways mirror the eternal groupings that we will have. Can you imagine that we will belong to one of these nine groups, nine choirs for all eternity? That will be your specific country. Think of that, that there are nine countries that you can belong to. What do these choirs even do? Now, for this, I'm going to quote to you the most ancient author that St. Thomas himself goes to. I'm not going to go to St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm going to go even before him to what he refers to. That guy's name is Dionysius the Areopagite. The Areopagus, remember, it's a Greek city. So this was a Greek mystic Catholic, one of the most ancient teachers of the Catholic faith. He's the one that St. Thomas goes to. And he has this incredibly difficult book to read called The Celestial Hierarchy. And man, brace yourselves if you're going to read that. And even he, when he's talking about what the angels do, he's always saying, well, I think they do this. I think they do that. He's trying to paint a picture for us. And he's humbly essentially saying, this is the best that we know. So I'm going to give you essentially what the nine choirs do in one sentence each, because usually the simpler you are, the more accurate you are. If you want a more detailed video on that, you probably need to look up on YouTube. There's a few others that probably are better than what I'm going to do, but I'm going to try to be as accurate as possible. But in general, you could have divide up the nine into three, the first three, the second three, and the third three. The first three have a special relationship directly with God himself. They are the inner sort of three. They deal specifically with the highest aspects of God. The second three deal with sort of mirroring God's traits and attributes. So imagine that is kind of like the inner mirroring of God, the second sort of outer mirroring of God, and then the third lower group deal with God and his relation to the rest of creation, for instance, humanity. So they kind of deal with God and extending out towards creation, something like that. Now we're going to go through each of these. And one thing that I want you to ask is, which one of these do you want to belong to? Think about that. If you never feel like you've ever belonged to something, you are going to belong to one of these choirs for all eternity. And it doesn't matter that if you belong to the lowest one, you're going to be doing awesome things, incredible things, and you're going to belong to those angels. They're going to be your brothers and sisters. Really, imagine that. For all eternity, shining gloriously with them. This is a picture of heaven. Listen to these different choirs. The seraphim do, the highest choir, do what their name says. All they do is burn for God. their job for all eternity is burning for God. Do you want to be on fire for the Lord? Invoke the seraphim. That's all they do. They just burn in love for God. It's their only job. Amazing. Do you want to be part of that group? Sign me up, please. Sounds awesome. The second one's the cherubim. Cherubim, that word seems to mean something like wisdom. They literally reflect God's knowledge and wisdom. It's like they peer into God's mind, and they're a pure reflection of God's wisdom. That's what they're wanting to kind of magnify. If you want to reflect God's wisdom, are you an academic person? Do you just, you want to stare into the mind of God for all, in a very particular way for all eternity? Then choose to be part of the cherubim. Incredible. That's amazing. The thrones, all they do is enthrone God. Very simple. They exalt God far above the creation, because God is so infinite. That's all they do. They enthrone him, and they kind of sort of proclaim his majesty. Do you want to do that for all eternity? Sounds awesome. I want to enthrone God far above all of the created order. Unbelievable jobs. That's a job description. Now let's go to the second three. I told you this was going to be simple and easy, but yet very profound. So the second hierarchy, the dominions, literally, here's what he says, signifies, I think, a certain unbounded elevation, which is above freedom from all that is of the earth and from all inward inclination to the bondage of discord. That's what they do. The dominions are reflections of God's unbounded elevation. I don't even know what that is. It's like the dominions dominate. They talk about, they reflect God's domination over everything, but in the holiest sense, I kind of think of them as like the peaks of mountains. They point upwards and sort of reflect how God is over all things and sort of encompasses all things. Just awesome stuff if you think about that. Now, the virtues, it says here, signifies a certain powerful and unshakable virility. Vir in Latin means man. So this is talking about man's strength, not in the gender, but in, just think of it as a word that means strength. Virility, for instance, an unshakable virility welling forth into all their godlike energies. I'm telling you, he's using this language that's kind of wild. So I've heard another person say that the virtues literally mirror God's virtues. That's exactly, they reflect his patience, his purity, his generosity, his mercy. Can you imagine that these angels, they're not just, think about this, an angelic creature that isn't just patient, but that you are a reflection of patience itself. I don't even know what that would look like, that you are a reflection of purity. You're not just pure, you're living, breathing purity, or you're living, breathing courage, or you're living, breathing mercy, or you're living, breathing holiness. I don't even know what that looks like, but that's what they are. So if you want to just reflect God's virtues for all eternity, that, I mean, talk about an unbelievable way to spend your heaven. Quite wild. The next one, powers. Again, listen to what he says. The name of the holy powers, co-equal with the divine dominions and virtues, signifies an orderly and unconfined order in the divine receptions and the regulation of intellectual and supermundane power, which never debases its authority by tyrannical force, but it is irresistibly urged onward in due order to the divine. What does that even mean? I don't know what that just meant, but the powers reflect God's power. Have you felt powerless your whole life? Wouldn't that be amazing if you were to glorify God's power for all eternity? Wouldn't that fill the deepest recesses of your heart and soul to say, that's all I do? I reflect God's infinite and multifaceted power for all eternity. Sign me up, please. I want to do that. That would be unbelievable. That would be heaven. Now let's go to the lower hierarchies. Still awesome. still amazing. So these are sort of, they have charge over different amounts of territories, extending outwards from God. The principalities are literally princes. Principality, very simple. What's a prince? A prince is someone that has dominion over a certain region. So if you look at the created world, all of it, the whole created universe, and you were to divide it up into regions, the principalities are take charge over particular regions. Like, can you, so if you become part of the principalities, it's like God's like, literally, here's a little kingdom for you. Have fun with it. Enjoy it for all eternity. It's yours. Like what the scriptures say, that God will give us in heaven what is ours in a particular way to the principalities. You will, that's what they do. Now, the archangels, let's listen to what they have to say. He gets a little bit kind of obscure with this. He essentially says they're in between the principalities and the angels. Perhaps a better way to talk about that is the archangels govern smaller regions. Perhaps we could say maybe over countries or over territories or over a particular church or something like that, that they sort of guard and protect. Imagine if you were to be like that, that God would say, I want you to sort of govern over this particular, kind of like you're sort of like a mid-level manager, if you want to think about that. Doesn't sound very exciting, but think of the Archangel Michael. He's awesome. And Raphael, they have dominion over smaller areas. For instance, the Archangel Michael, he has kind of particular tasks that he do. And then angels, as we know, have charges over individual humans. Humble, but noble. The messengers of God to humanity. That perhaps, again, doesn't sound incredibly exciting compared to the other ones, but if you could say, hey, I'm part of the choir of angels, I would take that in a heartbeat. My friends, we are destined for so much more than just heaven. We cannot have a superficial, dare I say, Protestant view of heaven that's, yeah, just heaven, it's all cool. No, it's not. We are going to belong to one of the nine choirs of angels. I cannot wait to see the choir that you're going to be in. I don't care if I'm at the lowest and you're at the highest, and I'm going to say, that guy watched one of my videos. Amazing. What's it like up there? Tell me, please give me the news. And that's actually how the angels relate to each other. They pour forth from the glory of God from above down below. They share all their wealth. My friends, I hope this has gotten you excited for heaven. Pray for the souls in purgatory, because every time you pray for the souls in purgatory, you have the privilege of, through your prayers and the merits of Jesus, of placing them, of allowing them to enter into one of these choirs. Remember, my friends, that every day on earth is a day that we're not in purgatory, that we're not in hell, but it's a day that we can pray for the souls in purgatory to be freed and for people to be saved from going to hell. If this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.